Good evening. Thank you all for coming out tonight. I imagine you're all pretty full already, ready to go to sleep. But I'll do my best to keep you awake. I welcome all of you here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today is the day that we celebrate his resurrection. So this is not going to be one of those resurrection sermons. You already had that this morning, and the people in Warrensburg had theirs. So this is going to be different. I hope you like it. Okay, so if you want to follow along, you can turn to Matthew, the 19th chapter. Verse 27. You ever read something in the scriptures and you go, well, what is that? What are you saying here? Why is this in here? What does it mean? Well, this was one of those things for me, and so I asked, and then he showed me. So you guys get to see what he showed me, all right? Verse 27, chapter 19 of Matthew says, Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So, there you have my first question. What does he mean that many that are first shall be last and the last shall be first? So I kept reading. Chapter 20, verse 1 says, For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. And so I'm like, well, okay, but is that the answer? They're just going to get paid the same amount? And so, you know, I was like, all right, tell me. And so here we go. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Okay, now we're going to go to the book of Genesis, chapter 29. And here's Jacob. He's gone on his journey. He's left mom and dad and home, and he's gone up north to the northeast, and he's looking for a bride. Okay, he wants to get married. He's going to go to his uncle's place and see if he can find someone suitable. So he's on his way, and he's already had the vision of the ladder going up to heaven and the angels going up and down, and he's already seen that. And now he's coming close to the place. Chapter 29 of Genesis, verse 1 says, "Then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east, and he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in his place. And Jacob said unto them, My brethren, whence be ye? And they said, Of Haran are we. And he said unto them, Know ye Laban the son of Nahor? And they said, We know him. And he said unto them, Is he well? And they said, He is well. And behold, Rachel his daughter cometh with the sheep. And he said, Lo, it is yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep and go and feed them. And they said, We cannot until all the flocks be gathered together, until they roll the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep. And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept." So, there were three flocks of sheep, and then Rachel showed up with her flock. Then Jacob went down and rolled the stone away, and he watered Rachel's flock of sheep. And then he didn't put the stone back on the well, so the other three flocks of sheep got watered. So whose flock got watered first? Anybody? Rachel's, right? First, how many wives did Jacob have? Anybody?
Four.
Yes, you're right. Four. Leah, the older sister, he married first. He was supposed to marry Rachel first, or just Rachel at all. But he got tricked into marrying Leah first. Then he had to stay with Leah for a week, and then he had to promise to work another 7 years for Laban, and he could marry Rachel that next Saturday. He said, okay. I'm assuming he talked it over with Rachel, and she said, yes, just do it. I don't know, but that's, you know, we'll never know what she said. But he did it. So then he marries Rachel second. Okay, they each get a handmaiden given to them by their dad, Laban, and he ends up getting married to those two women also. They become his wives. Okay, they bear his children. But it was Rachel was his true love. Rachel is the one that he wanted to marry. But he didn't get to marry her first. He fell in love with her first, but he didn't get to marry her first. He married her last. And then the other two women, it was kind of a given. Who had children with him first? Leah, yes, not Rachel. Leah had four sons, and Rachel didn't have any. And then Rachel came up with this crazy idea that I imagine she heard Jacob talk about, grandfather Abraham and what he and Sarah did. And she got the idea, well, then if that was okay for them, we're going to try that. And you're going to sleep with my handmaiden and she'll have my baby and it'll be my child. And so her handmaiden had children. Well, then Leah saw what was going on and she wanted some more kids. And so she got her handmaiden to do the same thing. And Rachel still didn't have any children. But she was the one he fell in love with. She was the one he was supposed to marry first, but she was last. So what happened? Well, she begged God for children. And let's turn to chapter 30. And we're going to go down to verse 14. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes." And she said unto her, "Is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband? And wouldst thou take away my son's mandrakes also?" That was Leah, okay? And Rachel said, "Therefore he, Jacob, shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes." And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, "Thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes." And he lay with her that night, and she had another baby. But finally, Rachel has a baby. She's the last one in the family to have a child. Joseph. That's the boy. Okay? First love of Jacob. Last one to have a child. Joseph was the firstborn of the first love of Jacob. The last one born was Benjamin. Okay, so first shall be last shall be first. Now let's go to chapter 37 of Genesis. They get, the kids start growing up and everything, and they're all out working in the fields, and all the boys are out there, and Joseph comes and he tells his brothers, "Hey, I had this most amazing dream last night. It was so cool." And he tells them, verse 5, "And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more, because he was the firstborn of Rachel, the first true love of Daddy Jacob, and Daddy Jacob loved Joseph the most and gave him a coat of many colors. And so they really couldn't stand him. But he tells his brothers this dream. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. All of you, my brothers and I, were binding these sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And yet they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And then he has another dream, and he tells them that all the stars in heaven came and bowed down to his star. There were 12 of them. And even the sun and the moon bowed down to his star. And they hated him more for it, and they wanted to kill him. But he told them, "Yeah, you're going to bow down to me at some point in time." Okay. Now let's go to chapter 43 of Genesis. Verse 26. Here's Joseph. He is now second in command of Egypt. His brothers have come out of Canaan looking for food, and they're coming and they're begging him for food and everything. He recognizes them, but he doesn't tell them who he is. And he's kind of playing with them and messing with them and everything. And it says in verse 26, "And when Joseph came home, they," his brothers, "brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed themselves to him to the earth." Ha! There you go. Last, or the firstborn of the last woman to have kids, and they bow down to him. First shall be last, and the last shall be first. Okay, so let's go to chapter 47. Verse 11. "And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt and the best of the land in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought, and Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. And when money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, "Give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence, for the money faileth?" And Joseph said, "Give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle if money fail." Okay. And they brought their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses and for the flocks and for the cattle of the herds and for the asses, and he fed them with bread for all their cattle for that year. When that year was ended, they came unto him the second year and said unto him, "We will not hide it from my lord, how that our money is spent. My lord also hath our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my lord but our bodies and our lands. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh, and give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate." And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine prevailed over them, so the land became Pharaoh's. And Joseph was second in command of all the people in the land. Now let's go to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. So Joseph was the first person that the house of Israel bowed down to. He wasn't their king, but they did bow down to him. Okay. This is the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. For the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." So, who led the people into the promised land? Joshua. Who was he? What tribe did he come from? Well, let's go back to the book of Numbers. Excuse me. Chapter 13. You remember the story when they got to the river the first time to go into the promised land, and Moses sent 12 young men out to spy out the land? Okay, you remember their names? Well, it's written down, so you don't have to memorize it, but it's here. Okay, chapter 13 of Numbers. And these were their names: of the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, the son of Zakur; of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori; of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh; of the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph; of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, the son of Nun; of the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Raphu; of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sodi; of the tribe of Joseph, namely of the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, the son of Susi; of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gemali; of the tribe of Asher, Sether, the son of Michael; of the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi, the son of Vosphi; Of the tribe of Gad, Geuel, the son of Machi. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. Jehoshua, or Oshea, in verse 8, is of the tribe of Ephraim. He's a descendant of Joseph, firstborn son of the last woman married, the last one to have children, the first love of Jacob. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first, and the first to lead them into the promised land was a descendant of Rachel. First shall be last, and the last shall be first. Okay, who is the first king of Israel? Yes, Saul. So let's go check it out. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Going to start at verse 19. Nevertheless, here's Samuel. He's you know, the prophet. His sons are judges. The people don't want his son to take his place because they're corrupt. And so they're asking for a king. Okay, they want a king. And Samuel's talked to God about it, and God's told Samuel, don't worry about it. They want a king, I'll give them a king. So here's what they're going to get. Verse 19 says, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man into his city. Chapter 9, verse 1. Now there was a man of Benjamin, lastborn son of Rachel, lastborn son of Jacob, son of the first love of Jacob, was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, and the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul. Saul is a descendant of Benjamin, last-born son of Rachel, first love of Jacob. But he's going to become the first king of Israel. Who's the second king of Israel? David, yes. Okay. Who's he a descendant of? What tribe? Judah. Okay. You know, back when Moses sent the 12 young men to spy out the land, remember Caleb was a descendant of Judah? And Caleb and Joshua both tried to encourage the people to cross the river, but the other 10 young boys wouldn't do it. Why didn't God pick Caleb to lead the people into the promised land? I mean, he was as gung-ho as Joshua, right? But no, he picked Joshua. God picked Joshua to lead them into the promised land. And now he picked Benjamin to be the firstborn or the first king of Israel. You know, why couldn't it have been Judah? Why did it have to be Benjamin? Well, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Okay? Who was Judah's mother? Leah. Okay? Who's the last king of Israel? Today's his day. Jesus. Okay. The scepter shall not pass from the hand of Judah until Shiloh come. That was Jesus Christ. Okay. He is their last king. He's our king, by the way, also. But the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Okay. Now let's go to 1 Nephi, page 4. Verse chapter 1, starting at verse 24. Do you remember what it said back in Matthew in the 19th chapter there, where it said, whoever gives up all of this stuff, their wives, their children, their parents, their brothers, their sisters, their land, their gold, their silver, to follow me, they shall receive 100-fold in return, right? That's what it said. Okay, so here we are. It says, verse 24, for behold, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto my father, yea, even in a dream, and saith unto him, blessed art thou, Lehi, because of the things which thou hast done. Because thou hast been faithful and declared unto this people the things which I commanded thee, behold, they seek to take away thy life. And it came to pass that the Lord commanded my father, even in a dream, that he should take his family and depart into the wilderness. And it came to pass that he was obedient unto the word of the Lord, wherefore he did as the Lord commanded him. And it came to pass that he departed into the wilderness, and he left his house, and the land of his inheritance, and his gold, and his silver, and his precious things, and took nothing with him, save it were his family, and provisions, and tent, and departed into the wilderness. Okay, this is the first written account of a descendant of Jacob who has done this, left everything behind to follow God wherever he leads him. Okay. Who is he a descendant of? Manasseh, son of Joseph, firstborn son of Rachel. First shall be last, last shall be first. All just kind of plays out. Okay, turn to the book of Helaman, page 560. Yes? Oh, Lehi? Lehi was a descendant of Manasseh. Manasseh was the son of Joseph. Okay. Joseph was the firstborn son of Rachel. And we're still dealing with first shall be last shall be first. Page 560 in the Book of Mormon. And anytime anybody has questions, don't hesitate. Just grab my attention and we'll see if we can answer it. Okay, page 560, chapter 2 of the book of Helaman, verse 102. Okay, here's Lehi and Nephi, and they're in the Lamanite prison, and they want to kill him. Okay, the Lamanites want to kill Nephi and Lehi. Okay, and so they're gonna do it and everything, but the whole prison has become dark. They can't see anything. And it says, and it came to pass, and here's Nephi and Lehi, and they're praying. They have knelt down, and they're praying in the prison. But all the other people are in the dark, and a light has shined down on them. Okay, and you can see Nephi and Lehi, but you can't see anybody else in the prison. And so here is a Nephite who left the congregation of the Nephites and went and lived with the Lamanites and converted to become a Lamanite. Okay? Verse 102 says, and it came to pass that this man did cry unto the multitude that they might turn and look. And behold, there was power given unto them that they did turn and look, and they did behold the faces of Nephi and Lehi. And they said unto the man, behold, what doth all these things mean? And who is it with whom these men do converse? Now the man's name was Aminadab, and Aminadab saith unto them, they do converse with the angels of God. And it came to pass that the Lamanites said unto him, what shall we do that this cloud of darkness may be removed from overshadowing us? And Aminadab saith unto them, you must repent and cry unto the voice, even until ye shall have faith in Christ, which was taught unto you by Alma and Amulek and Zizram. And when ye shall do this, the cloud of darkness shall be removed from overshadowing you. And it came to pass that they all did begin to cry unto the voice of him which had shook the earth. Yea, they did cry even until the cloud of darkness was dispersed. And it came to pass that when they cast their eyes about and saw that the cloud of darkness was dispersed from overshadowing them, and behold, they saw that they were encircled about, yea, every soul by a pillar of fire. And Nephi and Lehi were in the midst of them, yea, they were encircled about, yea, they were as if in the midst of a flaming fire, yet it did harm them not. Neither did it take hold upon the walls of the prison, and they were filled with that joy which is unspeakable and full of glory. And I will tell you that when you see that and you feel that, it is the most beautiful and awe-inspiring thing that you'll ever see in your life so far. For me, anyway. Okay? I've seen it, and it is amazing. And there's nothing that compares to that. And the feeling that just fills you up. You know, it's the Holy Ghost. You get that feeling when you're baptized, and they lay their hands upon you for the reception of the Holy Ghost. But when you see it, it does it again. You feel it all over again. It's amazing when you see it happen. And I know people who have seen it happen to other people. You know, Warren Surratt came to church one Wednesday night, and Uncle Alvin was up front. He was in charge. And he told me, Warren Surratt told me afterwards, he said, you know, I don't know what happened, but when I came in tonight and your uncle was up there, he was surrounded by fire. And it was the most awesome thing he had ever seen. And I asked Uncle Alvin about it, and he said he didn't see it, but Warren saw it. And he said it was beautiful. My wife has seen it on people. My father-in-law has seen it. So I know people that have seen it. Okay.
Can you share the reference again?
We're started at 102, verse 102 on page 560, book of Helaman, chapter 2. Okay, so now, verse 110, and Nephi and Lehi were in the midst of them, yea, they were encircled about, yea, they were as if in the midst of a flaming fire, yet it did harm them not. Neither did it take hold upon the walls of the prison, and they were filled with that joy which is unspeakable and full of glory. And behold, the Holy Spirit of God did come down from heaven and did enter into their hearts, and they were filled as if with fire, and they could speak forth marvelous words. And it came to pass that there came a voice unto them, yea, a pleasant voice, as if it were a whisper, saying, peace, peace be unto you, because of your faith in my well-beloved, which was from the foundation of the world. And now when they heard this, they did cast up their eyes as if to behold from whence the voice came. And behold, they saw the heavens open, and angels came down out of heaven and ministered unto them. And there were about 300 souls which saw and heard these things, and they were bid to go forth and marvel not, neither should they doubt. And it came to pass that they did go forth and did minister unto the people, declaring throughout all the regions round about all the things which they had heard and seen, insomuch that the more part of the Lamanites were convinced of them because of the greatness of the evidence which they had received. Okay, this is the first written in the scriptures account of a group of people receiving the baptism of fire in the Holy Ghost. Okay, and just so you understand, turn to 3rd Nephi, page 628. Here's Jesus Christ, and he's talking to the people over here after he's been resurrected. He's talking to them, and in verse 46 it says, I came unto my own, and my own received me not, and the scriptures concerning my coming are fulfilled. And as many as have received me, to them have I given to become the sons of God. And even so will I to as many as shall believe on my name, for behold, by me redemption cometh. And in me is the law of Moses fulfilled. I am the light and the life of the world. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And ye shall offer up unto me no more the shedding of blood. Yea, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away. For I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings, and ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost, even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me at the time of their conversion, were baptized with fire and the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not. So Jesus testifies to the truth that those 300 Lamanite men in the prison with Nephi and Lehi were baptized with fire and the Holy Ghost. They were the first that we have a written account of. What tribe are they from? Joseph. Okay. So they were first, even though Rachel was last. It was her line that got it first. Turn to the book of John, chapter 4. You all know this story, but we have to go there because it's important. Here's the woman at the well. Do you know what tribe she's from? Well, let's see. Verse 1 of chapter 4 says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus in the well," and that's where he met the woman at the well. Okay. Verse 9 says, "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well?" She's a descendant of Joseph. Yeah. "And drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. And she did. But first she talked to him a little bit more. And go over to verse 25, and it says, The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And then she ran to town and told everybody that she just met the Messiah, and he's told her everything she's ever done in her life, and they need to come and talk to him. And they do. The people come out, and they come, and they talk to him. And he stays with them for 2 days, just there, answering their questions, telling them stuff. And verse 39 says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Okay, this is the first time publicly that Jesus Christ has told the people, I am the Messiah. Okay? It talks about it in Matthew, Mark, and John, that this was the way it happened. Okay? Luke is the only one that says it different. But this is the one that we have the whole story. Okay, so she's a descendant, and these people of the town of Sychar are descendants of Joseph, firstborn son of the last woman that married Jacob. First ones that he declared to publicly that he is the Messiah. The ones that he offered them a drink from the well of living water. They were first. First shall be last. Last shall be first. Now, let's go back to the first book of Nephi, chapter 3, on page 31. Okay, here's Nephi's vision, and he's telling the people. And in verse 112, it says, I saw the heavens open and the Lamb of God descending out of heaven, and he came down and he shewed himself unto them. And I also saw and bear record that the Holy Ghost fell upon 12 others, and they were ordained of God and chosen. And the angel spake unto me, saying, Behold, the 12 disciples of the land which are chosen to minister unto thy seed. And he saith unto me, Thou rememberest the 12 apostles of the Lamb? Behold, they are they which shall judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Wherefore the 12 ministers of thy seed shall be judged of them. For ye are of the house of Israel, and these 12 ministers which thou beholdest shall judge thy seed. Which ones are going to get called into the ministry first? Well, the ones over in Israel, the 12 apostles, right? Descendants of Judah, okay? But there's going to be 12 over here that are going to get called. Who are they descendants of? Joseph. Okay, so now they're switching. First shall be last. But the guys from Judah, their mom got married first, and they got called first. But the mom that got married last, those 12 guys are going to be called last. Okay? First shall be last, last shall be first. This is all just things that God put out there. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 4. So what were those 12 men of Israel going to do, and what were the other 12 going to do from over here, the descendants of Joseph? What did Jesus tell them in Matthew chapter 19? When I am resurrected, and after you die, this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to sit on a throne in heaven. Chapter 4 of the book of Revelation, verse 2. Here's John, and he sees this vision. Or he's actually, I think he might be in a dream, but it sounds like a vision. It says, immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. 24, not just the 12 apostles, but all 24, the 12 disciples from over here. And the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. But they will all be there. Okay, let's go back to 1 Nephi, We're getting closer. Still got time. Chapter 4, 1 Nephi. Starting at verse 2. Okay. And it came to pass that I beheld my brethren, and this is Nephi speaking, and they were disputing one with another concerning the things which my father had spoken unto them. For he truly spake many things unto them which were hard to be understood, save a man should inquire of the Lord. And they being hard in their hearts, therefore they did not look unto the Lord as they had ought. And now I, Nephi, was grieved because of the hardness of their hearts, and also because of the things which I had seen, and knew they must unavoidably come to pass because of the great wickedness of the children of men. And it came to pass that I was overcome because of mine afflictions, for I considered that mine afflictions were great above all because of the destructions of my people, for I had beheld their fall. And it came to pass that after I received strength, I spake unto my brethren, desiring to know of them the cause of their disputations. And they said, Behold, we cannot understand the words which our father had spoken concerning the natural branches of the olive tree, and also concerning the Gentiles. And I said unto them, Have ye inquired of the Lord? And they said unto me, We have not, for the Lord maketh no such thing known unto us. Behold, I said unto them, How is it that ye do not keep the commandments of the Lord? How is it that ye will perish because of the hardness of your hearts? Do you not remember the things which the Lord has said? If ye will not harden your hearts and ask me in faith, believing that ye shall receive with diligence and keeping my commandments, surely these things shall be made known unto you. Behold, I say unto you that the house of Israel was compared unto an olive tree by the Spirit of the Lord, which was in our father. And behold, are we not broken off from the house of Israel? And are we not a branch of the house of Israel? And now the thing which our father meaneth concerning the grafting in of the natural branches through the fullness of the Gentiles is that in the latter days, when our seed shall have dwindled in unbelief, yea, for the space of many years and many generations, after that the Messiah hath manifested himself in body unto the children of men, then shall the fullness of the gospel of the Messiah come unto the Gentiles, and from the Gentiles unto the remnant of our seed. And at that day shall the remnant of our seed know that they are of the house of Israel, and that they are the covenant people of the Lord. Okay. That sounds good for them. All right. Now, let's go to page 184 in the Book of Mormon. Here's everybody's favorite. This is the prophecy of Zenos. It's long and complicated, but we're not going to read the whole thing, I promise. Okay, Milo, it'll be over soon. It is Book of Jacob, chapter 3, and we'll start at 109. Okay, so here's God. He's been talking to his servant in the vineyard about the vineyard, and he's upset because the vineyard is just corrupt everywhere. Nothing's going right. Nothing's growing anything good, and he's sick of it. And he tells them, well, let's go back over to verse 100. And so he says, But what could I have done more in my vineyard? Have I slackened my hand that I have not nourished it? Nay, I have nourished it, and I have digged it, and I have pruned it, and I have dunged it, and I have stretched forth my hand almost all the day long, and the end draweth nigh. And it grieveth me that I should hew down all the trees of my vineyard and cast them into the fire that they should be burned. Who is it that hath corrupted my vineyard? And it came to pass that the servant saith unto his master, Is it not the loftiness of thy vineyard? Hath not the branches thereof overcome the roots which are good? And because that the branches have overcome the roots thereof, behold, they grew faster than the strength of the roots thereof, taking strength unto themselves. Behold, I say, is not this the cause that the trees of thy vineyard have become corrupted? And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard saith unto the servant, let us go to and hew down the trees of the vineyard and cast them into the fire. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of working at this, and it's nothing's working right, and it's all corrupt. Get rid of it. Burn it. That they shall not cumber the ground of my vineyard, for I have done all what I could have done more for... What could I have done more for my vineyard? But behold, the servant saith unto the Lord of the vineyard, spare it a little longer. And the Lord saith, yea, I will spare it a little longer, for it grieveth me that I should lose the trees of my vineyard. Wherefore, let us take of the branches of these which I have planted in the nethermost part of my vineyard, and let us graft them into the tree from whence they came. And let us pluck from the tree those branches whose fruit is most bitter, and graft in the natural branches of the tree in the stead thereof. And this will I do, that the tree may not perish, that perhaps I may preserve unto myself the roots thereof for mine own purpose. And behold, the roots of the natural branches of the tree which I planted, whithersoever I would, are yet alive. Wherefore, that I may preserve them also for mine own purpose, I will take the branches of this tree, and I will graft them in unto them. Yea, I will graft in unto them the branches of their mother tree, that I may preserve the roots also unto mine own self, that when they shall be sufficiently strong, that perhaps they may bring forth good fruit unto me, and I may yet have glory in the fruit of my vineyard. And it came to pass that they took from the natural tree which had become wild and grafted in unto the natural trees which also had become wild. And they also took of the natural trees which had become wild and grafted into their mother tree. And the Lord of the vineyard saith unto the servant, pluck not the wild branches from the trees, save it be those which are most bitter, and in them ye shall graft according to that which I have said. All right, so fine. We're going to do this one last time in the vineyard. This is the last time that we're going to go to work in the vineyard. Remember what he said in chapter 20 of Matthew? He hired people in the morning. He hired people at the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, and finally the 11th hour. And then he said, we're done. And then everybody got paid. So here we are. And they're getting ready. And they're going to go to and work in the vineyard one last time. Go down to verse 124. And that I may have joy again in the fruit of my vineyard, and perhaps that I may rejoice exceedingly that I have preserved the roots and the branches of the first fruit. Wherefore, go to and call the servants, that we may labor diligently with our mites in the vineyard, that we may prepare the way, that I may bring forth again the natural fruit, which natural fruit is good and the most precious above all other fruit. Wherefore, let us go to and labor with our mites this last time. For behold, the end draweth nigh, and this is for the last time that I shall prune my vineyard. Graft in the branches, begin at the last, that they may be first, and that the first may be last. Well, there we have it. This is what he was talking about. In chapter 19, at the end, the first may be last and the last may be first. That's what he also said at the very end of the 16th verse in chapter 20. Begin at the last that they may be first and that the first may be last. And dig about the trees, both old and young, the first and the last and the last and the first, that all may be nourished once again for the last time. Wherefore, dig about them and prune them and dung them once more for the last time, for the end draweth nigh. And if it so be that these last grafts shall grow and bring forth the natural fruit, then shall ye prepare the way for them that they may grow. And as they begin to grow, ye shall clear away the branches which bring forth bitter fruit, according to the strength of the good and the size thereof. And ye shall not clear away the bad thereof all at once, lest the roots thereof should be too strong for the graft, and the graft thereof shall perish, and I lose the trees of my vineyard. For it grieveth me that I should lose the trees of my vineyard. Wherefore, ye shall clear away the bad according as the good shall grow, that the root and the top may be equal in strength until the good shall overcome the bad, and the bad be hewn down and cast into the fire, that they cumber not the ground of my vineyard, and thus will I sweep away the bad out of my vineyard. Go down to verse 138. For behold, this is the last time that I shall nourish my vineyard, For the end is nigh at hand, and the season speedily cometh. And if ye labor with your might with me, ye shall have joy in the fruit which I shall lay up unto myself against the time which will soon come. And so they did. Back in the spring of, I think it was 1978, might have been 1979, I can't remember exactly. I was about 18 years old, and we were having conference. And this was Saturday afternoon, and the men of the church went to the East Local, and they were going to have their men's prayer and testimony and song service at the East Local, and the women were going to stay here at the Temple Lot. And Uncle Nicholas Denham was in charge of the women's service. And me being me, I decided I really like the way the women sing, and I love their testimonies, so I'm staying. And so I did. I stayed. I sat in the very back row on that side. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to the songs and there's testimonies and stuff. And all of a sudden, the back door opens and this man sticks his head in. And he looks and he sees all the women and he sees me sitting there. And he looks at the women again and then he looks at me and I motion for him, come in, you know, sit down right next to me. He did. He came in, he sat down right next to me. We finished that song. And then one of the ladies stood up and gave her testimony. And then we sang another song. Finished that one, and he stands up. And he said, my name is Joe Matei. I'm from Quebec, Canada. I was in my kitchen praying to the Lord when he told me to come to Independence, to the RLDS auditorium, to their conference, and to let them know that because of the path that they had chosen to go down, and because of the doctrines that they had taken upon themselves that were false, that I was going to withdraw my spirit from working among them. They were no longer going to be my church. They were no longer going to be my people, and that they were going to be broken up into many little splinters. He said, I told them that just a few minutes ago, and then I left. Said, as I was walking out and getting ready to go back to the bus to go back home, God spoke to me and told me to come over here and to let you people know that because of the things that they had decided to do and the path that they had gone down and because of their false doctrines that had been brought into their church, that he was going to withdraw his spirit from working among them. They would no longer be his church and that they would be broken up into many little splinters. Said, when this happens, God wants you to know and understand you are to welcome those who come over. That come in, you are to welcome them in. Do not tell them they can't come in. But do not allow them to bring in their false doctrines that cause their destruction, or you will be destroyed also. God wants you to understand that he is pleased with the work that you are doing, and to keep going on that path. He will watch over you and bless you, but do not allow them to bring in their false doctrines, or you will be broken up as they were. And then he left. Well, then all the women and Uncle Nicholas, they were asking me all kinds of questions. And you know, I was the only one sitting close. There was three empty rows in front of us. And so I was answering their questions. Well, then the men came back for dinner, and they had all kinds of questions, and I answered the questions as best they could, and then they decided, well, we need to have a season of prayer. Let's ask God if he'll bring this man back so that we can talk to him face to face. So we knelt downstairs, all of us that were there, in a season of prayer, and we all asked God to bring this man back. And then we had dinner, and then, you know, the service for the day was over, and everybody went home. And then everybody came back the next Sunday for sacrament. And we're all upstairs, and the service had started, sacrament had been served, and everything was going along. And then the door opens, and this man walks in, and it was Joe Matei. And he looks at everybody, and they all got quiet, and he said, "What is it that you want to know?" And the elders and the ministers of the church got to ask him their questions, and then he left. And then in 1984, I think, the RLDS church was broken up into many little splinters. And it's no longer the church that it used to be. And the people don't know what to do. The Community of Christ Church is struggling financially to keep their doors open. And all of the people in all of the little groups are trying their best to figure out what to do. Okay? When they come here, we're to welcome them in. We are in the last session of working in the vineyard. The descendants of Nephi and Lehi have received the fullness of the gospel. That last time of working in the vineyard has commenced. Okay? We're in it. I don't know how much more time we've got of working in the vineyard, but we're in the last part. Okay? This is the last time that he's going to be pruning things, and the churches are going to dwindle. They're going to be snuffed out. They're going to be plucked off, cast into the fire. But those who bring forth righteous fruit, those who keep his commandments, they'll survive. That's us. Okay? We're doing what it says. We're sticking to these two books. This is what we teach from. This is what we preach from. That's what he said to do. And we're doing it. So, I hope that gives you a better understanding of the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And we're working in the last time. I love you all. Have a good night. Owen, happy Resurrection Day.